Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. We are an associate of TCPN over at www.thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. Good evening. I'm Rosanna Marte-Fio. This is Gather Round. In our first hour, we have Monique Johnson, who is here to help us utilize and work the energy that we have. Then we have Gwen Holdenberry coming on, and we're going to talk about 9/11. While she's on, feel free to give us a call at 718-664-6436. And at the top of the hour, then we begin with for Palestine with Raymond Blaine on Palestine and Sarit Jacobson's Eye on Israel. And now we're going right to Monique Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Well, hello everyone, and hello Ruthanne. It's so good to be here. And so much, it's an honor. I say that every week and I mean it every time.
And we love having you.
Thank you so much. We're doing the tea talk today from Oregon. We're in Salem, Oregon right now, and was able to see a lot of the wineries here and going on the beach coast. So hello, Salem, Oregon, and anyone in Oregon. So today, of course, we have been going through the chakras, which is just another word for the energy centers of the body. And these energy centers is how we, as an energy being, as a soul being, expresses out into this physical world. And we've been talking about how to balance them, which is the heart is the center chakra, the center. There's three below it and three above. The three below deal with the earth self and creating here on earth, and the three above deals more with our connection with that which is greater than self. So we've been kind of going through that. We talked about the first two balancing acts. because the first part is just being able to connect to your heart, because that is the fulcrum. So when the energy of the heart, you're connected to the energy of the heart, then energy goes up and down, out, and out into the world. So first, just being able to connect to the heart. It's funny, that kind of was on my mind, and then as we were talking about the loss of how ones who are left behind when they have had a loss of a person, or it's funny, the same energy can take place with any kind of loss. Anything that a person feels they have lost, because some people feel they've lost themselves. So then we have the grief that comes from that loss, and what happens is that bag, that energy, that kind of experience, if not dealt with, it puts bags in our heart. And the heart is, once it's clogged up, then we can no longer really feel the love that we have for ourselves. And it's very hard to express out into the world love and compassion toward others. So we become busy. And I know that we have probably all been at one time, but if we are not self-aware, I'm sure we all know one who we feel like, oh, my goodness, the heart chakra is clogged or blocked or something's going on. So that's something to really be aware of. I have a tea talk on YouTube on how to relax judgment to increase compassion. Mm-hmm. And that compassion, yes, and that compassion is just priceless. And first, to really just be able to show it to ourselves so that we don't lose part of us or tuck it away or condemn it or judge it or, you know, and then we have all these pieces of us, and we only deal with the pieces that somehow we judge to be okay. as if the other pieces are not going to have a say in how we live our life. They still drive. They just become shadows, and they become stronger. So really being able to see that clearly when we have that, to be able to lay all of our griefs out before us, if we can, even in the mirror or in our own journal, in our diary, to really be aware of what we have grief over, what do we feel we have lost. And that could be the loss of, like I said, self, the loss of a dream, the loss of anything. What are we? Do we feel we have lost? And that energy will begin to stagnate, because that same style of energy at a different frequency comes out as love. So as we, you know, apparently this is our tea talk on the heart and on love. We let the journey just say what it's going to say and move us any way we want. I mean, it wants. But I think that that is something very much to be aware of, is that when we are loved or have loved and we lose a love, that love does not necessarily have to die into change into hate or something. It really is able to be reborn and transformed into a new style of love or a new love with a different being or for ourselves. Love is always around us, and we and it is just a frequency. It's an energy. So technically we can be love, you know. We can be the very embodiment and the epitome of what love is, you know. And so if we're able to at least start to have that type of energy toward ourselves, because we first learn how to put it out there. But when we learn how to love putting it out there, then usually it's, well, how does love look? What does it show up as? What do you do to show me you love me? Or, you know, it's all about protecting. Or doing, or, you know, showing, or proving, or, you know, all those things. But if we really just come down to the basic essence, love is really, it's an energy of emotion. And it is something that can, if it's truly there and it's pure and it's not constrained and constricted by external judgments and external constraints and external fears, if it is not, if it's the pure essence of what love is, then we are that, you know. And as we look in the mirror and show ourselves that, shine that back to ourselves, then we're better able to shine it to others and to be in a spot of, hey, you know, let it show up as acceptance, as like the yin part of love, accepting everything unconditionally of who we are, our past, our choices, how we express and feel in every moment. That, for me, is showing myself self-love. And as much as I have can be able to show myself that and to embrace in every moment what I feel, what I think, what my reality is, then I can be in that spot for another person. If I can't do it for myself, I sure can't do it for another person. So we are conditioned to look externally to have that type of thing, to put it out there. What I'm saying is, hey, put it in here. Be more aware, awake, to when you are, we are showing ourselves that. And then we won't have to worry about so much how to show it to others. It'll be just so much a part of who we are that we show it to others no matter what, you know, and that it becomes more of a, it becomes more effort not to show that kind of love and compassion toward another than it is to show it. Mm-hmm. We all can flip that coin, you know. And it's funny that, yeah, it's funny that's what we're talking about today.
But I
do honor that the journey itself kind of speaks and says what is needed. So I'm sure there's someone, as well as myself, because I, too, listen to the words that come out of my mouth. And the reason I do that is to try to walk my own talk and to make sure that even myself stay healthy energetically as well. And the one thing that always comes back to me that helps me get back in sync when I get a little off-grounded is I love the Dr. Seuss quote when it says, say what you feel, be who you are, because those who matter don't mind, and those who mind don't matter. And
perfect.
If we can, if yeah, oh, I love that. Dr. Seuss, of all people.
I've heard something similar. I did not know it came from Dr. Seuss. That's wonderful. Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? And I know that I didn't quote it straight, but basically that's what the quote is. And it's if I can live that every day, and, I mean, without, like, trying to control it from the outside to make sure I live it, but to be in that spot from my heart every day, then I can mirror that out to everyone who's around me. And we as humans feel loved when that is mirrored to us, that you can be who you are and you can and say what you feel and honor your own reality in every given moment. Most humans would feel loved by that. So, and the only time we as humans don't feel loved by that is because usually we're judging ourselves about something, we're trying to control something, we're being in fear, therefore then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't translate into love. It translates into the opposite coin of what we're sitting in. So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that it's funny because you mentioned fear, and it's true that when you really feel loved, you feel safe.
Yes.
And recently I went to a festival, and it was made up of people who are not the majority of people. I mean, from different things that they like and practice and things. And it was the most wonderful feeling because everybody was so accepting and everybody felt safe because they could be their authentic self.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, and I hear you. That for me is the greatest expression of love that I have ever experienced is when the person who is in you know, who is quote unquote loving me truly sees and accepts every part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't have to even worry about do I need to be my authentic self or not. I can just be and know that, you know, and it's funny how you mentioned fear, Ruthann, because fear is the one energy block for all the chakras. It starts at the first one. It is the biggest block of the first chakra, the first energy center. And if the energy can't get out of the first one, it sure can't go up to the second, third, fourth, and fifth. But fear is such a huge thing that once the shadow of fear is there, it is the shadow by which we experience all the other chakras. It is amazing how it works. But then love, and not love tit for tat, not love you do this to show your love, but just the pure energy of love is the same, but on the flip side of the coin. You know, it then shadows. It's like the light by which you experience all the other chakras. So those are two huge things to be aware of. Is when we are in fear, and fear can be considered as the condensed, you know, that condensed energy. And control, if you ever see control be a part of your life, it's because there's fear there. There is no need to feel obsessed or about control if there's no fear. Because love is the opposite, and that's total freedom, total liberation. So, yes, I love our talks.
Right. Well, you know, that's even anger and things. Like at the bottom of anger, when you keep peeling and peeling and peeling, you come up with fear.
Yes, and that is huge to know, because at the bottom of any condensed energy, now, and remember, condensed means the person who's self-assessing is the only one that can say they are condensed more so than not, because it's different for different people. But at the end of any condensing down of energy, at the core of that, you will find it is always fear, usually. I mean, I have never seen it to where once we started peeling back my own layers and layers of people I coach and all that, I've never seen it that it was anything other than fear.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and so the beautiful thing about that is if you're having some contention in your life,
mm-hmm.
you can skip all the layers a lot of times and just go into what do I fear? What is my greatest fear? And if you can get to your greatest fear and release that, it will release the contention a lot in all the other areas of your life because usually it is the core and all the other areas are just symptoms.
Yeah, they're just added layers built on somehow.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Just a manifestation of that core. It's amazing.
It
so,
is.
Yeah. So I love it. I love it, yeah.
I love having you talk through these things with us.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yes, and I love doing it. I mean, because anything I ever say and I ever talk about, it is not about reading a book. It really has been about me living life and then trying to find out, okay, what was that experience? What did I go through, you know?
Yeah.
Some words to, you know, to describe the experience. And then that is how I live each and every day. And then it just, you know, I have the gift of gab that I can articulate it.
Yes, you do, and I'm so glad you do, Monique.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and,
yes.
And Salem. And we'll talk to you next week, wherever you are.
Yes, very good. So this is Monique
okay.
Johnson signing off. You can reach me at www.healthymovementsinternational.com, or you can check me out on Facebook, MONIEKJohnson.com. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Good night. Now we have Gwen Holden-Berry. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, can you hear me? Am I coming in all right?
Yes, you are. Yes. I know that, yes, our communication thingies do have problems sometimes, but we are going to talk about 9/11 tonight. This is the 12th anniversary, and we're going to talk about how it's impacted us personally and what we think it's done for the world. So I just first want to thank you for coming on, Gwen.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, I know you have definite opinions on this, and as I do, I guess most people, when they think about it, do, but some people just want to put it in the past, or they're still suckered in on, you know, what we were originally told, but... Do you want to start out by telling us what happened when that morning of September 11th in 2001? What were you doing? How did you find out?
I was living in Hull, Massachusetts, just below Boston, and a good friend of mine, Dolores Donahue, she got me a job with her at corporate Aubon Pan in the design center in Boston. Working in the catering department, taking, you know, orders from executives and sending them to all the Aubon Pan shops that were around all of these corporate buildings throughout the East Coast and into the West in Chicago. And we had two at World Trade at the two towers. And they were both overseen by a gentleman named Ralph. I can't remember his last name. And Dee and I were the first ones in the office that day. And I took, she took the first call. I don't know where it came from. I took the second call, and it was Ralph. And he was on the 70th floor of the World Trade 2, I believe. He was on his way back down to get more coffee for a client, a customer.
Ah.
And he was standing at the windows. You know, he was standing at the elevators. If you've ever been into World Trade, you know, oh, my goodness. You could go right up to the glass and look down. You get a delightful vertigo thing.
Yeah.
And he was looking out at the other tower. And as he was talking to me on the phone, saying, please add this to the invoice and send it back through, all of a sudden I heard a high-pitched whine on my headset, and he was gone. And my heart dropped to my feet. I knew something bad had just happened. I correctly surmised that New York had been bombed, but not the way, you know, I thought.
Yeah.
I went to, it was just Dee and I in there at that hour, and the people were starting to drip into work. And I went to Dee first, and I said, something bad has happened in New York. And she said, what do you mean? And I told her what had happened. And she said, go tell Christine, who was pretty much the stand-in supervisor who didn't know what to do and was going to deny it, you know. Anyway, all of a sudden my phone came back on. It started ringing, and it was Ralph, and he was screaming. He had seen the explosion. He saw, he didn't realize till later what had actually happened, that a plane had flown into the building, but he saw body parts and everything fly at him from the other building.
Oh, my God.
It was horrific, and he was hysterical, and I was saying what I knew to say, which was, it's going to be all right. Take a breath. Stop and get hold of yourself, you know? And that was the beginning of the day that just kept going. We spoke to people who were trapped up there above the 78th floor who were actually calling us. This one lady, I'll never forget her, ever, 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 calling. She's calling up to cancel her order, and she said, you know, I've spoken to you so many times, and you're a nice gal, and she said, I don't know if I'm going home today, but I had to call, and there's no one else to call. We spoke to people like that on the phone for,
oh my God,
I don't know, all of corporate finally bugged out in every city on the east and west coast of this country. You know, corporate America bugged out, went home.
Right.
We stayed all day, and in corporate headquarters at Avon Pan in the design center, and we took the call, and we spoke with people who were so scared. Rob, they were so scared.
Oh.
And all she could do was just, like anything that happens that way, you're living it in the moment, and you do the best you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure I put my boot right into my mouth a few times. I'm sure I did, but that one lady, and I can't remember her name. But I had spoken with her lots of times. She had ordered from me, and she was the executive secretary to somebody at a huge corporate office for an insurance company. And she was a nice woman, and I thought she was the goddess that day. I really did.
Wow.
We finally lost communication. She kept calling back and speaking to... Well, she called like three times. She called three times. By 10 a.m., though, it was just an onslaught of people calling to say they were canceling, they were going home. What do you know? What do you hear? What is happening? Has Boston been hit? By the time we went home that night, there weren't that many people commuting home. And Dee and I were looking at each other with this vacant, I don't know, lost for any kind of emotion or anything. But we also knew by the time we were leaving, we were hearing that the plane had come out of Boston. And it was weird because I think everybody that we looked at, it was like when the Sox won the World Series later. People looked at each other with this feeling of dread. You know, it came from Boston. How could that be, you know?
Yeah.
It was a day. And, you know, the thing is, I have to say, Rob, I think that everybody in the world experienced 9/11, because when there's a tragedy that is that large and it overwhelms a people, it also overwhelms the nation, it overwhelms the world, and
yes.
everybody feels it.
Yes.
It's like when something happens abroad, or it just is how it is, because we're human beings. We're all one family. We're all connected.
Yeah.
And I think that for myself, when I got home and I finally saw the oh my God, they kept showing it over and over again.
Yeah.
And when I finally saw it, I was outraged. I was really outraged. And I saw Dennis Traynor Jr.'s video today, where he said he had felt the same way. He had a lot of outrage. And I spoke that way. I began to be a hater. And I have to say, you know, always be grateful for my partner and my friend, my buddy, Asa Hoffman, because he kept telling me, you're a healer. You're not a hater.
Mm-hmm.
This is not who you are. And within a day or so, I realized that it was an opportunity for forgiveness again. And I think that's the most important thing, the most important value that 9/11 offers any human being, is the opportunity to forgive. And to learn that it isn't about hating, it isn't about war. And to have a president seriously consider, even with just that's called diplomacy now, to threaten war. You know, I guess it always has been, but you know, it was just, the last few days have been pretty horrible for this country. And
yeah.
we look terrible to the world. The world is looking for its humanity again. When is somebody going to have the beauty and the grace to stand up and say, no, we're not going to go to war. We're going to go to peace.
Yeah.
When that going to happen? And I think that 9/11 is one of those catalyst events that awakens people, especially in America, to the fact that hate doesn't work, that war doesn't work, and we're losing our humanity and all of it, everything from the ground up on the whole issue, the whole event, everything is buried in the money that just really a few people are pushing their pockets wider for, you know?
Yeah.
It's all based in that, and we really do have to. I look to the positive on this and think, well, we had Occupy Wall Street, we had Idle No More, we have all of these people standing up, and it's global. When people think that Occupy is just something that happened in this country, it really irritates me, because I wonder how many of them remember Mohamed Bouazizi and the great sacrifice he made to say enough. I take my stand tonight, and he felt, you know, he sent himself a plane, and that was it.
Wait.
It triggered people into saying,
right.
No, can't do it anymore. And Egypt will go back to the Tahrir Square if things don't get right this time. The people in Iran, they want out of this numbing suppression of people to stop in their country. It's about greedy leadership at
yes.
the top, and the people. This beautiful global consciousness we're using right now, this internet, this social networking, this radio, this independent media, we're connecting with people in different countries, we're connecting with people all over the globe who are saying the same thing. You know, enough hate. Enough hate.
Yes.
It's time to feed children, to clean the soil and the oceans, and to look to a new day, a new future.
I think that, that is the takeaway. Like you said, we've learned a lot, well, a lot of us have, about forgiveness. But also, if we ever doubted the interconnectedness we have with all beings, we shouldn't doubt it anymore. It's just been amazing since then. And, I mean, it's not all been good. We've had a lot of our rights taken away in this country, the U.S., and
yeah.
The government wants to continue doing that, which is something we've got to stand up against. But the fact that people around the world, you know, I still have some people here who say, oh, so-and-so, in those countries, they hate us. I said, well, they don't hate me because they don't hate me.
No, they
hate this government, but I do too. And so, you know, they don't hate us. They do hate the government because it suppressed them. This government has tried to make slaves out of every single country, even
ones
supposedly our allies. And,
right.
You know, so, but as far as the people in these countries, oh, yeah, you're going to have some fanatics just like we do in this country, but not that many. I mean, most of the people understand that we feel at the mercy of this government. And they're encouraging, like you said, Occupy is not just this country. I mean, we have friends in other countries that are encouraging us to be strong and stand up and fight back.
Yeah.
And that, you know, so we're getting a lot of encouragement and we're giving it. So I think that the 9/11 caused this tiny planet we live on to become even tinier. I mean,
yes.
There is just no excuse now. I mean, we're all family. And
you know, I think in about maybe 200 years from now, humanity will be in a much different place. And from my perspective, my point of view, I think a much better place.
Yes.
And they'll look back at this time as the great tempest, the great storm before the awakening.
Yes.
I think that there's many actions that are going to trigger things, and we've learned, and 9/11 is also that
you're breaking up a little bit there, Gwen.
We've also learned, am I better now?
Okay, I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me
you're
now?
You're totally broken up.
Wow. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Do you need to try to call back in?
I will do that.
We hear nothing here, Gwen. Ah, are you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hello? Okay, let's see here. Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, just a minute here.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Jeez. I don't know what the problem
is. I don't. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you?
Okay. I can. Now I can.
I'm getting an echo.
I had a shaky Skype. I was going to call in by the phone, and then Skype came back on.
You want to call me?
Yeah. You know what? I can hear you now. It seems fine. Everything's lit up, and I can hear you. So,
okay, I'll go.
Yeah, we'll just go on then. Yeah. Wow. But if you've ever worked with Blog Talk and Skype, you know that these things happen. unfortunately. But Gwen, I was surprised today that a lot of people that I thought would be marking this day really didn't seem to. And I'm talking mainly like Facebook. Did you see that or not?
I saw quite a bit of it, more than I thought I would, actually. But I wasn't paying as much attention today as I usually do because
Hello?
I was very busy. Oh, dear. Can you hear me now?
Gwen?
Hello?
Yeah, I don't hear a thing, Gwen.
Oh, God. This is unreal.
I am not getting anything.
Oh, my gosh. Can you hear me now? Hello? 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 Hello?
I'm going to see if I can get in another way.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, boy.
Gwen?
Oh. Yeah, can you hear me? Oh, boy. Can
Gwen.
You hear me, honey? Oh, God.
Okay. Gwen?
Yeah, I'm here.
I hear something that sounds like a clatter, and then that's it. So, it looks as if I may have to call this. Try once more and see if Gwen can call in, or me just... Hello?
Hey.
Okay,
Hello?
I'm going to give a call and we'll see how that works.
This is outrageous.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
I've reached Daughters of Isis, and I'm Gwen the Blender, and I'm sorry that
okay.
We missed your call. It's probably because there's too few rings. A lot of people know this. And our
Can you hear me?
Us, we will return your call within an hour, within 24 at the moment.
Hello?
If you
the number you have dialed has not been recognized.
Order on the machine,
please try again.
I will call within the hour or within 24 to confirm that order with you. I thank you for calling. This is also the place for daughtersofisis.com.
Okay.
Anyone who has any
I
questions
think we're just
or
going
needs
to...
or wants to place an order via phone, leave
I'm going
to
try to call one more time.
Get back to you. Happy midsummer coming up, and have a prosperous, wonderful, and safe summer.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished recording, press pound. To cancel, press star.
This call could not be completed because you're trying to reach a Skype user. This call could not be completed because you're trying to reach a Skype user.
Hello? Hello?
Okay. Blog Talk has done a job on us. I'm so sorry. Gonna have to call the show. Good night, everybody, and we will be back next Wednesday. Thank you.
You have 10 seconds left before recording terminates. To replay your message, press 1. To re-record your message, press 2. To mark this message urgent, press 3. To mark this message private, press 4. To send your message, press pound. To cancel, press star. To replay your message, press 1. To re-record your message, press 2. To mark this message urgent, press 3. To mark this message private, press 4. To send your message, press pound. To cancel, press star. To replay your message, press 1. To re-record your message, press 2. To mark this message urgent, press 3. To mark this message private, press 4. To send your message, press pound. To cancel, press star. Goodbye.